that always stirs up a bit of patriotism in an American Christian, say, let's get back to our Christian roots. But let's not be naive about it. We weren't Christian, and to the degree that we were, you want us to become post-millennialists, persecuting Baptists, so they have to run over to Rhode Island and have another state where they're free? You wouldn't have a Bible church here if you got back to your Christian roots. Because a Bible church, that's a sect. That's even worse sect than the Baptist sect. I mean, you'd really be persecuted right out of existence. So let's be realistic about that. On the one hand, then, we have post-millennialists today. You say, well, Pat Robertson isn't a post-millennialist, is he? No, he's a confessional pre-mill. But he's an operational post-mill. Now, let me distinguish. Confessional pre-mill, if you said, what do you believe? Are you pre-mill, on-mill, or post-mill? Pat, he'd say, I am pre-mill. I believe Jesus is going to come, set up a kingdom and reign. But then if you read his book, and I challenge you all to read it, if you haven't, even if you have made up your mind whether you're going to support Pat Robertson for the presidency, I suggest you get his book, The Secret Kingdom, and read the chapter on dominion. Read the chapter on dominion. Pat Robertson believes in operational post-mill theology. He believes that you and I right now can take dominion over this world, including taking dominion over the forces of nature. He rebuked the hurricane and says that he wouldn't have run for president if he couldn't have done it. Somebody asked him, did your rebuking the hurricane have anything to do with your running for president? Pat Robertson said, well, if I couldn't have done that, if I couldn't have done that, how could I run a great nation like the United States? Taking credit for rebuking the hurricane himself, one, two, saying this is what boosted him into his presidential aspiration, and three, he says that you and I have that power today to rebuke earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, droughts, and poverty in the world, that we can right now, before Christ returns, take dominion over this whole earth, the same that Adam and Eve had in Genesis 1:28. Nonsense. That is absolute, unmitigated, unbiblical nonsense. There is no such thing. You can call yourself a confessional pre-mill, but he's really post-mill in his actual belief. Talk more about that as we go along. Good question, and we're going to speak to that more this evening and give a more detailed answer to it. But I think one of the things we learned from the Carter years is that you don't vote for someone simply because they're born again. One of the things we learned from the Nixon years is that you don't vote for someone, two things I learned, simply because of the party they belong to, and simply because they attend Billy Graham meetings. You know, Christians have very strange reasons why they vote for people, and none of those are good reasons. I would rather vote for an outright pagan who had the right policies than a born-again Christian who had the wrong policies. And I hope we don't make that mistake in the next election. But that's a good question. We'll treat it more and more as we go along this evening. Well, what about 4B? Christians should practice it morally. As members of the church, we should model it. As members of society, we should manifest it. It's not simply practicing a Christian ethic in our private life, but doing it in our ecclesiastical life and doing it in our social life as well. Now we get to the difficult one, 4C. I do not believe the church as church should be politically involved. I think Christians who belong to churches should be politically involved, but I think they should do it through political and social groups, not through the church as a church. Start an action group, join an action group, but do something. Don't just sit there. By changing people, Now, we're never going to change society from the outside in. The fallacy of postmillennialism, which says that ultimately we will set up a Christian government, and the main founding head of that belief in America today is not Pat Robertson by any means, it's a guy named Ross Dooney and the Chalcedon Group. Right over here in Tyler, Texas, one of his sons-in-law, Gary North, has his little, hold up, they used to have a seminary there. Gary North, Greg Bonson, DeMar, Ross Dooney are literally inundating Christian groups in America, playing on their patriotism, their Christian sense of responsibility, their overreaction to humanism, and teaching operational post-mill theology, even to confessional pre-mill. It's even influenced top Christian organizations in America. Say nothing to Pat Robertson. It's influenced Tim LaHaye's organization. It's influenced almost totally an organization called Christ Coalition and Revival. It's influenced Campus Crusade, some of their leaders, to a degree. This operational post-millennialism that we are somehow going to Christianize America is really going to kill us. It's going to do more damage for what we really want to do in the long run than what was done by our withdrawing from society and doing nothing. And I'll say more about that this evening, too. What do we want to do then? We want to change people by evangelization. Matthew 28 is not a cultural command. Matthew 28 is a gospel command. Now, what the post-mills say is that Matthew 28 is a command to take over, and I'll quote Ross Dooney from the Rutherford Institute paper. Ross Dooney is on the board of the Rutherford Institute. John Whitehead is highly influenced by Ross Dooney. And I know you've had their attorneys here, and it's my turn tonight. You can ask me anything you want, like you ask them anything you want. I can tell you some stories that would be very interesting to you. But John Whitehead is a confessional pre-mill. But he's a naive, theologically unsophisticated, highly influenced by Ross Dooney, who is a sophisticated post-mill and who strongly influenced that organization. And here is what, in John Whitehead's Rutherford Institute paper, Ross Dooney, with a big picture of him, identified as a board member, here's what Ross Dooney said. Quote, Christians must prepare to take over the world's courts and its governments, end quote. Why? What do you want to take over? To Christianize the world, to get it back to what it was in early America. Now, what was it? Post-mill, persecuting dissenters, no religious liberty, quote-unquote Christian America. I do not want that. I am not working for that. I am working side by side with them against the humanists, but I do not go with them the second mile they want us to go to establish a Christian country. What we need is not a Christian America, it's a moral America. What we need is not a Christian America, it's a free America. We're not really free now. And we want to do it by changing people from the inside out, not changing society from the outside in. You must be born again. We can't forget that. Also, we want to change politicians. See, in America, you not only are commanded to pray for Caesar and pay taxes to Caesar, but you can actually elect Caesar. And that makes our responsibility double as Christians, because in a democracy, obeying Caesar and paying taxes to Caesar and praying for Caesar, which are basically the three things that we're commanded to do, are actually transcended by our duty to elect Caesar and to elect the one that will bring this moral, free America back into existence that does not exist now. That's called democratization. Then thirdly, by changing policies, legislation. 1 Timothy 2:1 tells us how we ought to vote. And I think we ought to look at that passage, because Christians, I am convinced, do not vote morals. They vote money. Poor Christians vote handouts. Hold on. Rich Christians vote tax dodges. Most Christians vote money. bottom line, when you get right down to it, the reason Jimmy Carter lost and Reagan won is that one statement Reagan made. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? You thought of the gas prices, you thought of that, and most Americans voted money. And we always have voted money. Now, I'm suggesting that if we're going to be Christian, we're going to have to vote morals over money. What was the problem with our friend, our three friends, all of whom come from churches that are opposed to abortion, that own this clinic? You know what the problem is? If they would drop out of that deal right now and cancel their contract to the Rooster Street Clinic, they would lose a lot of money. So it's morals versus money. That's the problem. Boils right down to that. Secondly, we must vote principle rather than party. Now, I don't care what party. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Jesus associated with the Republicans and sinners. It doesn't matter to me which party you tend to vote. But let me tell you something. And I tend to vote more on one side of the aisle than the other side myself. I won't tell you which side. But I'll tell you this. In the last election, a lot of people in this area went into the booth and pulled just one lever and voted a lot of good Democratic judges out of office. That's a shame. There are a lot of good, moral, principled judges that were voted out because some people voted straight party. We should be more discriminating than that and know what we're doing. All the good guys are not on one side of the aisle. There are actually some good guys on the other side of the aisle, whichever side you're on of the aisle. And Christians are going to have to vote principle over party and vote morals over money, and then maybe we can do something. Another point I'd like to make here. What about, now let's apply it to your last week discussion on abortion. What about this legislating morality? We're almost paranoid about legislating morality in America. People say, oh, well, you just want to cram your religion down our throat. First of all, let's make a very important distinction. Legislating religion versus legislating morality. You know from what I've said already tonight that I am vehemently opposed to legislating religion. I don't want a post-mill theonomy, dominion theology back to our Christian roots, quote-unquote. That's legislating religion. There's no religious liberty. I am in favor of religion, that you can't legislate morality. Not at all. In fact, I will argue that we not only can legislate morality, we must. In fact, everybody does, even the liberals. For example, did you ever meet a liberal who wasn't in favor of legislating civil rights? I've never. In fact, I'm for civil rights too. That's legislating morality. It's saying everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, national extraction, has the right to. That's right. That's legislating morality, though. Civil rights is legislating. Did you ever meet a liberal who wasn't in favor of open housing? Anybody has a right to live anywhere they want. They can afford to live there. Did you ever meet one? I've never met one. That's legislating morality. He has a moral right to live anywhere he wants to live. Did you ever meet a liberal who wasn't in favor of legislating against child abuse? Rape. That's legislating morality. You say, wait a minute. A lot of those principles come out of the Bible. Ah, now we have a very important distinction. Just because the moral principle came out of the Bible doesn't mean that if you're in favor of it, you're legislating religion. The Bible speaks against rape. If you have a law against rape, doesn't mean you're making the Bible the basis for society. It just happens to be a moral principle that God has revealed in his general revelation, Romans 2, 12 to 14, in the hearts of all men, as well as one that's in a special revelation. So here's what Christians should do. Your political platform should come out of principles that come from God's general revelation that are common to all men. All men know it's wrong to murder, to rape, to abuse children. That's contrary to nature. Homosexuality is contrary to nature, Romans 1 said. Sir, even the pagans don't live like that. Even animals don't live like that. So our platform, just because it's mentioned in the Bible, doesn't mean that we are making the Bible the basis for our political action. We're making good moral principles that are common to all men, that are revealed in the hearts and lives of all men, that also are revealed in the Bible, but we're not taking any uniquely religious principle that tells us how to worship God, when to worship God, and legislating no freedom of religion. We're simply legislating good moral principles that are necessary for the preservation of society, which are revealed by God to all men. Yes, we do want to legislate morality. You have only one other choice: legislate immorality. Because if you don't legislate morality, you're going to be legislating immorality. And just because it happens to be a Judeo-Christian moral principle doesn't mean that you have no right to vote on the basis of it. Francis Schaeffer, Christian Manifesto, did not make this distinction. He perhaps was a frustrated old man dying of cancer. I don't know what the reasons were he overreacted, but I can tell you one possible reason. Francis Schaeffer wrote that book under the strong influence of John Whitehead. John Whitehead is under the strong influence of Ross Dooney in the Post Mill. Thank Frankie Schaeffer has already become a Post Mill. I smell a rat. Unsophisticated pre-mills, that's most of us, unsophisticated pre-mills are dying by the thousands today because we haven't articulated our view, and the humanists have taken over America, and we're overreacting to the humanist takeover and falling right into the hands of the post-mills, right out of the frying pan of humanism into the fire of post-millennial theocratic Chalcedonian reconstructionism, that's all called by those names. You want to do away with the First Amendment? That's what the reconstructionists want to do. That's what the Ross Dooney Post Mill Chalcedon group, they want to actually set up a Christian America. Even if you base the government on the Ten Commandments, what's the First Commandment? First Commandment mandates worshiping one God. That eliminates Buddhists, that eliminates Hindus, eliminates atheists, agnostics, skeptics, polytheists, Mormons. Is that what we want? Be careful. That's the direction we're going. It's way too far. No, and I don't want humanism in the schools being taught as religion either. I mean, I've sung that song long enough. If you listen to my radio program, you know that I'm against that too, but I don't want to go the other way too far either.